Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Cheers to a great day and this ice-cold Corona.
You know what would make this day even better? My grandma's carne asada.
Throw in some music.
We can watch the game. Or we could keep it simple.
Corona, la vida más fina. Get your Corona at ordercorona.com. Relax responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The start of May kicks off with some incredible excitement in sports. The NBA playoffs, Kentucky Derby, NHL playoffs, Canelo versus Jacobs, Major League Baseball, and more. Guys, get in on the action. Go to betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. All right, I'm glad to be back. I've been on the road and I had a great time. So it's probably been about 6 months ago, I get contacted by a group of old college teammates and they say they're putting the band back together. They're going out to the U.S. Open, which has a division called the Veterans. So you must be 35 years to enter it. So it's not just the young guys. It's not just the college studs. They're going to do the veterans. They're going to do it alongside the college studs. Okay, great. I'm going to be the coach. We get together. We go out there. We have a great time. And along with the camaraderie and the success, Quinn won a national championship. But really, everybody won. You know, it was kind of one of these different deals. And I don't ever want to be a prude or be weak when I'm talking about coaching and competitions. But this was a different scenario where all of the guys getting together, all of the guys getting into shape, all of the guys making weight, all of the guys going out there and competing. It was only good things, right? There's only good things that come from that. In addition to watching our guys compete, though, the U.S. Open went on. And the U.S. Open, for any of you that aren't aficionados on wrestling, it's no different than any other thing that is titled U.S. Open, whether it's in tennis, whether it's in golf. I mean, this is the big one, right? And it's exactly as advertised. It is open to anybody in the U.S. There are no parameters. Even the NCAA has got different divisions. And then even within those divisions comes the bureaucracy of making the clearinghouse and having your grades up. And then the military's got their forms of wrestling and the training center. This is the open. If you have a pulse and you want to enter, put your $25 down and get on the scale. It is such competitive wrestling, but it's also very important because it will qualify you for the world team trials. And should you be the champion, it will even have added incentives. But for the most part, you kind of know how this is going to go. In most of the weight classes, you know who the guy is. Not this year. Everything got thrown out. I mean, if you want to talk about an outstanding wrestler, that's going to go to Yanni for many different reasons. I'm not positive Yanni was the outstanding wrestler. I'm not sure it wasn't Bo Nickel. If you look at how they both competed, if you look how many points they scored, if you look at everybody that they beat, but Yanni was more of a surprise. 145 pounds is just so tough. We got Olympians in that weight class. We got returning national champions in that weight class. We've got world team members in that weight class. So I think there was just a little bit more impressiveness for what he did. And I will concede that I would also give him the outstanding wrestler, but I think there needs to be a real conversation. You have to be able to look at what Bo Nickel did and as it sets those guys up for the rest of the year and what's to come in the showdown that Bo Nickel is going to have with Jaden Cox in a number of weeks, 6, 7, 8 weeks here. Starts to be some pretty exciting stuff. And I would put Yanni's performance, I would put it as far as inspiring, quite frankly. A really hard road going through Molinaro, having to take on his own teammate and coach and Jordan Oliver, getting into the finals with Zane. I mean, there's a reason they call it the Zane train, because it's hard to stop. Yanni did it all and had another win in there. I think if you look at Nolf's match with Green, I thought that was one of the better actual matches. I don't know if James Green is ever going to get the credit that he deserves, but just a fantastic wrestler. He ends up getting surprised in the finals by Deacon. You look over at what Adam Kuhn is doing, sitting in the finals of Final X, all the while coming back through the freestyle scene, which nobody should tell him he shouldn't do. I know that isn't the motto of USA Wrestling. I know the motto is that you pick one style and you go with it. But when you have a guy like Kuhn, who's doing it his own way, but bringing home championships and world-level medals, man, you got to stand back and support him as he's doing it. I will tell you, one of the guys, aside from the outstanding wrestlers, which is going to come down to Yanni, going to come down to Bo, you want to know who is outstanding for me? Dan Che Jr. And, you know, Dan Che Jr. is one of these guys that loves wrestling, from a wrestling family. His old man's a badass. He grew up to be a badass. But he went and got a bronze medal at the U.S. Open, and I don't know what he did in high school, but I'll never know now. I do, for the most part, know what he did in college, but it will never be talked about now. Once you get a bronze medal in the U.S. Open, that is what you will be referred to from here on out. He was third place in the U.S. Open. Anything you do before that gets thrown out. And sometimes that's really good, and sometimes it's bad. Kenny Monday and I had this talk. Kenny Monday won 4 state championships. He won the junior national championships. He won the NCAA championships. He won a world championship, but then he became Olympic champion. Nothing he ever did ever mattered or counted. They only call him Olympic champion. So in his case, maybe that's a bad thing. Maybe he doesn't get all the credit that he should get. But if anybody ever had a career in which, man, I wish I would have won more matches or more tournaments or more medals, you're in the spot of Dan Che Jr., he forever will just be known. Unless he comes out and does something even better than this. But he literally in one weekend not only won a Masters Championship, but he fixed his entire wrestling resume for life. For life. It was such a great tournament. So I had a really good dinner, by the way. I should mention this because we stayed at the Aria, and they have a restaurant in there called Javier's. And I thought we were just going to a Mexican restaurant named Javier's. Well, when we get there, it's absolutely packed. You got to wait an hour for a table. The food comes out. This is one of the best meals I've ever had. I like Mexican food, but I wouldn't even put it like as my number one. This is one of the best meals that I ever had. So we end up leaving Javier's. And the next night we go, Leif picks this dinner place, and we're going to go out. And all we know is it takes about 20 minutes to get there, and it's off the strip. And I'm sitting there going, why? If you're in Vegas, the entertainment and the food capital of earth, why the hell would I drive 20 minutes to leave it? Leif said, no, we got to go to this place. It comes highly recommended. Best Italian in all of Vegas. So we get out to this place, and try to picture this. You open the door to go in. So now you're in the building, but it's one of those where there's like a lobby, and then you open another door to go into the restaurant. Well, once you open the door to go in, there's a sign on the door that says closed. So while you're standing there waiting, going, closed? What do you mean it's closed? Then all of a sudden this cutout in the wall opens up. And it's this Italian guy, and he's working like a mobster angle. And, he's sizing you up and who sent you and, give us a code word and doing this whole thing. So then once you get through his approval, there's a payphone on the wall. The payphone's actually a trap door. It props open, and that's how you walk in to get into the restaurant. I mean, it's a total speakeasy to the highest of levels. Big piano bar going. Great food. Capos? C-A-P-O? Capo? Capos, it's called, if anybody wants to go. But the reason I was excited to be there, I've heard about that place for about 15 years. I've heard about this place in Vegas that's a speakeasy, that's off the strip, that they shake you down at the door, that you got to come in a little side entrance. It's great. I mean, it was a total atmosphere. The food was good. The food was very good, I must say. But it was just this whole atmosphere. And I was happy to be there. I felt like I was getting an experience in. The reason I tell you guys this isn't to be Mr. Bragging out there seeing the world. I'm actually just the opposite. I do a lot of traveling, but I'm about the most unfun guy you could ever travel with. I get to wherever it is I'm going. I check into the room. I don't ever leave. A great night out for me would be room service and ordering a movie. So the fact that I actually got out and went and saw a little bit, got to try a couple of different restaurants, yeah, I guess I'm boasting a little bit about it, but it was a pretty fun time. And I must say, if you're ever at the Aria, make sure you try Javier's, get the guacamole. And if you're ever in Vegas and looking for somewhere to go off the strip, try Capo's. So get done with that. Take in some great wrestling. Get on a plane early Friday and head out to San Jose for the Bellator. Now, I got a lot of thoughts on this, guys. If you guys saw this show, very interesting show, very good. But when you get down to the main event, you got Rory McDonald taking on John Fitch. And anybody who's following the sport is well aware that Rory McDonald is one of the best to have ever done it. And they're also well aware that John Fitch, with his style and his grit, can go in there and ruin the party for anybody on any given night. And as the fight starts getting closer and closer, there just started to be a little bit more of a feeling and anticipation that John Fitch was going to do just that. He was going to come in, he was going to beat Rory, take the title, ruin the entire tournament. I say that, right, with a tip of the hat to say he's going to ruin the tournament, but it would be a big surprise. It would be number one going down to number eight in an eight-man field. Sure enough, John Fitch goes out there, he puts it on Rory. Round after round, and Rory comes back. I mean, it's a back and forth, it's a dogfight, but it's 3-2 Fitch. And when the judges come back, they score this a draw. Two judges had it a draw. One judge had it for Fitch. Okay, fine. That's not what you want in this sport. There's a reason there's three judges and that there's five rounds or three rounds in a non-title fight to make it less possible, less obvious to ever run into a draw, but this is what happened. So because two have it a draw and one has it for Fitch, it goes to a majority draw. And I think that that rule quite possibly needs review. It would just seem to me, if of the three judges, two of them basically throw their hands up and say, we have no conclusion. I can't give it to this guy or this guy, so I'm going to give it a mythical name, of which is draw. But one judge did have a decision, which was the name of one of the participants in the actual contest. It seems to me there may be a conversation there that you throw out the two draws and you go with the one guy who did his job that night. I don't know how bullish I am on that statement, but I do think that maybe there's a conversation for that. A majority draw seems a little bit weird. And in this particular case, it had even other ramifications, which is who moves forward in the tournament. And because Rory was not beaten, then Rory retains his championship. I agree with that. And Rory moves on. I agree with that too. I just think possibly there's a discussion there. And I was really wondering, how do they get to this decision? Now, I need to preface what I'm about to say by telling you guys, I'm not certain this is accurate. And the reason I have to say that is I don't want to come down on any administrator or any judge and not have my facts right. And it's very possible that I do have this wrong. I can only tell you this. When I went and looked up the scorecards myself, I just want to see, how did you get to this conclusion? So when I went and looked up the scorecards, one of the judges had written down on his scorecard that Rory McDonald had two illegal elbows, and therefore he was awarding the round to Fitch. And I stared at that, and I stared at that, and I stared at that. I must be seeing this wrong. Possibly he made the note there, but there is no way that a judge took a point away from McDonald. Nobody can take a point away except for the referee. So I thought, well, maybe I'm wrong about that. I know that that's the unified rule, but perhaps there's a nuance in the state of California where this, I better look into this. So I did look into it. Nope, sure enough, no judge can take a point away. Only a referee can. So I'm not even certain that I'm accurate in telling you that the judge did take a point away, but I am definitely accurate in telling you that he wrote that down on his scorecard and I saw it with my own eyes. So Rory gets done with the fight and Rory comes out and Big John's interviewing him and just says, hey, you know, how'd you feel? Turned out that was a really tough fight. And Rory was real calm and said, yeah, I don't know. It was a really weird experience. And I don't know if I want to be doing this anymore. And you're kind of looking around going, well, Rory, you're the champion of the world. You just got done doing it successfully. And you have a defense coming up against Neiman Gracie on June 14th. So we don't really need to pressure you right now for an answer if you're in the middle of an epiphany, but boy, the clock is ticking. Are you going to be fighting Neiman at MSG on June 14th? I think he is. I think the answer is yes. Fitch comes out and Fitch says, you know what? I think this is my last fight. I think I'm retired. I'm not fully willing to commit to that just on the off chance that Rory does pull out and they give me an opportunity to move forward in the tournament and take on Neiman at MSG. Be one step closer to the Grand Prix champion, which would also be one step closer to $1 million. So essentially, we saw some really great fights, but we definitely opened the door to some drama and some dialogue moving forward, and these guys are going to have to get this figured out. I mean, that fight is on the books. It is slated to happen. We are in the middle of a tournament. I trust it will be Rory. I trust I am probably starting a dialogue over here, but I think it's responsible of me to do that because it might be Fitch. It might be Fitch stepping in, which after the performance that he had, Fitch's stock just went up. People most certainly want to see him. So get done with the Bellator show. Great show, right? San Jose is just a great place for Bellator. It's their home for Bellator to be doing fights. Get done with that. And I've got headlines coming up on my phone that Jacare just lost to Jack the Joker. Going, oh gosh, you got to be kidding me. That's a big upset. So I had an opportunity to go back and watch that. And wow, I mean, Jack's performance was through the roof. You know, if you beat Jacare, no matter what the circumstances are, if you ever in your life get the jump on Jacare Souza, ever in a grappling match, in an MMA fight, whatever the circumstances, catch him, get lucky, however you want to do it. If you get your hand raised in combat one-on-one over Jacare, it's an incredible feat. And not very many men are alive today who have ever done it. Man, Jack took him to task. And it was really straightforward fight. I mean, Jack was moving around a lot. He wasn't afraid of the submission game of Jacare. In fact, he was looking for his own submissions. But it was really just jabs and crosses and a ton of movement. I mean, he just flat out worked him. And Jack just wouldn't slow down. I kept waiting for him to slow down. 25 minutes is a long time. This guy's going to get tired at some point. He would not stop. And when he was moving that much, Jacare couldn't get his hands on him for one. And two, he just couldn't make contact with him. Every time Jacare would go to throw something, Jack would be moving. It was a pretty straightforward fight. If you guys want some kind of analysis after the fight, Jack outworked him. Turns out Jack's a hell of a lot better fighter than I think the world knew that he was. I'll put myself in that category. I respected his skills for him. I didn't know he was there. Jacare is a number one contender for the world championship for about the last 5 years. Any given night. Any given night, you get a logjam at 185. Hey, we're throwing Jacare in. Nobody complains. For about 5 years. Jack goes out there. Bop, bop, bop. Touches him up. 25 straight minutes. Pretty impressive. Listen, no matter your lifestyle, eating clean can be a challenge. Thankfully to our friends at Sunbasket, they will cater to your healthy lifestyle. Check out some of these meal plans they offer. Paleo, carb conscious, gluten-free, Mediterranean, diabetes friendly, and even vegan. With all of these options combined with a quick and easy recipes, you can enjoy a dinner full of organic produce and clean ingredients in as little as 15 minutes. Try tremendous Sunbasket dishes like seared salmon with curried cauliflower rice, or the chicken and apple salad with walnuts and avocado, or just for old Chael's favorite here, the steak medallions. These are just a few of 18 weekly recipes to choose from. Sunbasket brings you delicious, easy to prepare meals. No matter how much experience you have in the kitchen, it's everything you need to eat clean and feel great, delivered straight to your door. Take it from me, guys. Sunbasket's food is absolutely incredible. Go to sunbasket.com/Chael and receive up to $80 off. That's basically dinner on the table for less than $9 a serving for your first 4 weeks. One more time. Visit sunbasket.com/Chael to get up to $80 off today. As you're looking forward here, I mean, we're only a couple of days away from a real unexpected treat. Ally Aquina versus Cowboy Cerrone. I mean, for the most part, that is unexpected. Cowboy was in line to fight Conor McGregor. Cowboy had made the announcement himself that he was going to fight Conor McGregor. Conor was responding. He was going to fight Cowboy. All of a sudden, who knows what happened with Conor? He's just out, booked with nobody. Donald put into a main event with Al. And as you break that fight down, I mean, that can really change some of the storylines for that division. If Donald goes out there and he beats Al, maybe he jumps right back in line for Conor. Would make a lot of sense. Conor needs to fight somebody. The titles are all tied up in that division. So it's got to be some big fight. Okay, great. That makes a level of sense. But you just got to slide Al? Al goes out there and gets a win. Al's in the same spot. Yeah, one of these guys is qualifying for a really big fight. At the same time, it's almost safe to say they will not be qualifying for a world title fight. Because the world title is being contested between Khabib and Poirier later this year, roughly September, in Abu Dhabi. So what do? You got to reward these guys somewhere. Now, I think they're getting rewarded anyway. I mean, look, the fact that they're fighting in a main event and the card's named after them, I'm not acting as though these guys are being slighted, but something very special is going to happen for one of them. And the question does become, who and what's it going to be? Where do you go? It seems as though the Conor sweepstakes is a very real thing. But it also seems as though Tony Ferguson's going to have to be getting a big match too. I mean, something is going to have to end. By the way, Tony Ferguson just announces that he left Paradigm Management. And this made a little bigger news than I thought maybe was worthy of making. I mean, so what? A guy left management company? But the reason this was interesting is, you know, Ferguson has had his problems with Conor McGregor, right? He's been calling him out and wanting that opportunity, and they're both managed by Paradigm. So it is believed, whether accurately or not, it is believed that one of the larger reasons why Tony Ferguson left Paradigm is because he's trying to get a fight with Conor. I'm not certain what the two have to do with one another. I know Ali Abdelaziz manages multiple guys and he'll put them in the ring with one another. And I think that Audie would too. But there was something somewhere where Ferguson felt that his opportunities were being taken away from him and handed to Conor, whether that's accurate or not. He came on this very podcast about a year ago and told us that. Say, man, I got a real problem here. It's a real conflict of interest. I do think that that's largely being misreported. I don't think just because Tony left Paradigm means that Tony and Conor is coming up. I think that that's wishful thinking. However, that fight makes some sense. And that's a big fight that people want to see. And you got to do something with these guys. It's really tough when you have a world title caliber guy like Conor, when you have a world title caliber guy like Tony, throw Cowboy into that mix too. But the world title is already booked. It's already booked and can be contested later in the year. It does come down to, well, who's going to fight? And what's the reward? And what's the goal? What's the payoff? And it would seem to me that between those four guys, I think that the winner of Al versus Donald is likely to draw right in to either Conor or Tony Ferguson, which I think is very exciting when you start looking at it and start looking where that division is going to go for the balance of 2019.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Check out the Under Review Show with host Damon D here at Podcast One, presented by BetOnline.ag.
Get the odds, news, and insights from real industry insiders. This isn't your typical schlocky picks show. Download new episodes of Under Review, presented by BetOnline, every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
As April comes to an exciting close, the beginning of May starts off with even more excitement in sports. Simply put, there is a ton of action that you should be taking advantage of over in the NBA. It's all about the playoffs. Is Houston destined to make the championships? What about the Raptors? Is this their year? Can the Celtics keep it rolling? And don't forget about my Blazers and the Bucks. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action and don't forget to use the promo code PODCAST1 or text BETNOW to number 238-669 and you will receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partners of Podcast One Sportsnet.
Now back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Old Tito came out with an announcement. I see that he signed somewhere. Old Tito signed somewhere to fight. And I thought it was a little bit interesting. Something stunk about it. He signs to fight, and they make an announcement that he has signed to fight, except he did not sign to fight. Wait, what? So Tito comes out and is allegedly with an organization. And good for him. My bygones can be bygones with Tito if he's fighting on off-brand shows that nobody's watching. Good luck to him, and we'll go our separate ways. But nobody signs to fight, and they make an announcement about the signing without then telling you who that person will be fighting, where the fight will be, and how you can get tickets. So there was something very fugazi about it. Something very, very peculiar about him coming out with a fight announcement. Oh, and by the way, there was no announcement, and by the way, there was no fight. And there's no opponent, and there's no venue, and there's no date, and there's no commerce to be done. Something about it seemed off. Still seems off. And I don't know whose side is that on. Is that on the organizations? Is just a little bit behind here? Or is that on Tito's and that he's never really planned to fight, but he got some kind of a signing bonus, so he signed the contract and is kicking the can? I don't know. But it's a little bit odd. I mean, it is a little bit odd. And I couldn't even give you a guess as to who he's fighting. I don't know anybody on the roster over there where he's fighting at. And that could, some of that's my own ignorance, right? Don't let me come in here and kick these guys just because I don't know something. But the reality is there's not a whole lot of guys out there. There is some, Vitor Belfort comes to mind, but he's signed up. Vitor's over with one. When I'm looking at the possible suspects for who it could be with Tito and who you want to see Tito, man, I feel like you're kind of starting at ground zero. I think that I think arrogantly that he had one interesting fight, and I think that it was with me. And now he's signed somewhere to fight without an opponent or a date or a venue, which is very similar to the way that they did things with Golden Boy. And I was more than happy to come out and tell you guys a million times over, they're doing this in the wrong order. This is not the recipe for success. They are following a new recipe, which I will predict for you is not going to be successful. And it wasn't. And Golden Boy MMA is long gone. And I don't wish that, and that isn't my narrative here. I'm just looking at it and going, this is really weird. To do a press release and an announcement that Tito has signed to fight, or did he really? No date, no venue, no opponent, no commerce to be done. Something is amiss. I will get to the bottom of it. And I'm sure just like with Golden Boy, I will be the first. And we'll circle back to that when the time is right. You know, I came across a piece of news. Jeff Novinsky was nominated for a World MMA Award. And I'll tell you the award that Novinsky would win hands down, was the most underappreciated guy in MMA of all of 2018. Do you guys remember how 2018 ended? That was when John Jones was going to fight Gustafson in Nevada. It gets moved on a week notice. Boom, they go out to California. So Novinsky has to come out and try to explain to people exactly what happened, of which he was 100% correct. He got 100% abused for coming out with this information. And then about 2 weeks later, other administrative bodies, other athletes, other experts all started to come to the table with a little bit more time to take a deep breath, a little bit more time to analyze and form opinions. And they all came to the same opinion that Jeff had come to originally in 2 weeks earlier. But I never saw any of those stories correcting themselves. I never saw them come out and go, okay, now that we don't have a knee-jerk reaction, now that we've really let sophisticated people dig into this, We all come to the same opinion that he came to 2 weeks ago, but we're not going to apologize for the way that we treated him anyway. So good luck with Jeff winning his war. You know, I'll tell you something else about Novinsky. Not only is he very good at what he does, which is a very unique field. I mean, it's a very, very unique language that he's submersed and inundated himself as, but he also happens to be nice. That's not a job requirement. Him answering his phone, him returning emails, him getting good information into people's hands, that's his job. He doesn't have to be nice. He just happens that he is nice. I think it's about time somebody said something nice about him in return. I'll tell you, though, there's really a couple of schools of thought for people that are using performance enhancers. And the one is that they're dirty, rotten scumbags, and they're trying to get away with something. And the other school of thought is, hey, there's so many rules out here, and they're so sensitive, and the rules are changing, and the procedures are becoming even more enhanced, that we want to make sure that we can get information to people. Instead of deciding if you're in violation of one of these many, many rules, we're just going to throw you out. Instead of doing that, we're going to do the other, which is we're going to make sure that you have the information. Because this whole, hey, silly me, tainted supplement, oh, I didn't know, oh, is that on the ban list? As annoying as that is, guys, it's also a very real thing. You're seeing some guys that are looking around going, that's banned? Since when? Fair question. Things aren't banned until they're banned. They aren't on the list until they're put on the list. So when you have somebody like Novinsky that will answer those calls, and I can tell you, not for nothing, he helps guys in other organizations too. I know guys that are not with the UFC that have questions can get a hold of him and boom, he handles it. He takes their call. I've heard things like, oh, he's a UFC shill. He's paid for by the UFC. Yeah, guess what? He's got a job. Yes, he has a job somewhere. Somewhere somebody pays him. That's true. But it's also true when he comes out and tells you that he has a good faith approach to helping the entire industry. That's also accurate. And I feel like that's something that he doesn't get credit for. And I hope he does well. I hope he does well, and I hope he gets a lot of your votes. Let's see if he can win the award. Our friends at GEICO want to save you some money, and even better, you don't even need to leave your house. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? Guys, it might be the most rewarding thing you do today. So I caught Dark Side of the Ring last night, and it was the Bruiser Brody story. I don't know if most of you will know who Bruiser Brody is, but Bruiser Brody was one of the really big men in wrestling. And by big men, I'm talking about he was 300 pounds. He was 6'8" tall, big former football player. And he came along in the late 70s and throughout the 80s. And he actually did a stint through Portland. And it was a huge deal. Oh, Bruiser Brody's coming to town. And came in and lit the world on fire when he was out here in Portland. So I happen to be familiar with him. I knew who he was. I had some subscriptions to the magazines, Pro Wrestling Insider, and I read about this guy. And he was over in Mexico, and this is what the Dark Side of the Ring, this is what the whole episode was about Bruiser Brody. But he was over in Mexico, and he had some kind of heat with a guy. The guy that he was wrestling and working against, Mexican wrestler, right, in a mask, typical luchador. But they had some kind of heat, and whatever that was about, nobody really got to the bottom of it, other than they said that Brody worked a little rough. When he was in the ring, he would just come out and really beat you up and not take care of you as much as some other guys would, and he was such a big man. So Brody gets done with his match, and he goes into the locker room. This is very well documented, and he's showering. He's butt naked in the shower, and this guy comes in to confront him. But when the guy came in to confront him, the guy brought a knife. So the next thing you know, Bruiser Brody is dead. And it's just the two of them in the shower. But the guy pleaded self-defense. And the cops went along with it. This is now, I mean, gee, we're 40 years ago, 30-some years ago. Done. Over. And nobody knew what had happened in the shower. And that includes me. I mean, there was no report. Nobody knew. It was just the two of them. But I am looking at that a little bit more objectively and going, does it really matter what happened? If one guy is naked and another guy shows up being an aggressor, agitated, and brings a weapon, Is there room to claim self-defense? Is there, I know there wouldn't be in America. It would not matter what that discussion was or if Brody came at you for, if you bring a weapon in a premeditated plan, physically or verbally, to accost and confront somebody. So all the wrestlers that were there, they all told the story exactly like that. Yeah, Brody was in the shower. This guy came. Brody's dead. Didn't see anything else. And that guy, not only the wrestler, and I tell you his name if I could even pronounce it, but not only is he never anything done, he's right now got a Facebook page advertising himself. You can book him so he'll come out and do your kid's birthday party. I want to say the guy's like 62 years old now, 64 years old now. Really quite a mess. Really quite a very sad and unfortunate story. And I was grateful in some ways that Dark Side of the Ring covered it. I mean, what else is Brody going to get? He's not going to get his day in court. So we're going to have to try this thing in the court of public opinion. Public opinion agrees with me. Bruiser Brody got murdered. Let's take a moment to give a big thank you to TrueCar for being our loyal sponsor from day one. With TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer on your vehicle. In the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, pet your dog, or do a few of those New Year's sit-ups, you can get a true cash offer. And best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone, even from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions. You'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer in minutes. It's that easy. After that, bring in your car. They'll check it out with you so there's no surprises. They'll ask you some questions. You'll give them some answers, then simply leave with your check or trade in your rig for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. All right, guys, it has been fun. I have to go home. I've got to get my gear and get off to boxing practice in an attempt to become better at this sport, if at all humanly possible. But I'll be back on Friday. Same chail time, same chail channel. Until then, you're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Winter is coming.
I'm not sure if, as you are prepared to meet almost certain doom, if maybe being a little tipsy isn't the way to go into it.
So it's time to join Survivor's Rob Sister Nino on post-show recaps as he brings you highlights of the biggest television event of the year.
Other than the dragons, whose job is it to take out the Night King?
Download new episodes of post-show recaps every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Dragons not included.